The power of Imam Ahmad Raza's pen. The power of Imam Ahmad Raza's pen.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to the beautiful, amazing, informative and an educational silsila of Madani Channel, the power of the pen of Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, rahmatullahi alayhi. And why shouldn't this program be beautiful and amazing and educational and informative? Because this is around the researches of Sayyidi Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And undoubtedly, the works of Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, give the introduction of this great Imam. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in this beautiful program, in every episode, we are trying to cover at least some researches of this great alim, this great imam, this great sheikh. And we have covered a few topics so far, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, today we are going to cover a very interesting one. Yeah, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, there is a lot to learn. And this whole episode, basically, the topic which has been chosen for today revolves around the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Undoubtedly, Imam Ahl-e-Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, is an example when it comes to the love of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And subhanallah azza wa jal, today's topic is about when we hear the name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, should do we kiss our thumbs or not? Should we or should we not? Allahu Akbar. This is a question. And this question was asked to this great Imam, Imam Ahl-e-Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, was asked that when in Azan, the Muazzin says, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, so should we kiss our thumbs or not? Like this. And placing them on the eyes. Should we do them or not? And of course, you must also be seeing in the masjid, or when you are with your friends, or you are in a circle, and azan goes on, or the name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, you'll see people doing like this, taking that to the lips, kissing their thumbs, and then placing them on the eyes. So, is this proven from Quran or Hadith? What is the permissibility of doing this? Is this allowed? Or is this an innovation? It is a bid'ah. What is it? And if it's an innovation, why do you do it? We should refrain from it. So this is a question which was posed. And Sayyidi Imam Ahl-e-Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, subhanallah, a great ocean he is. What a personality he is. He started to answer. And as always, before we get into the answer of Imam Ahl-e-Sunnat, let's listen, what did he title this answer of his? Every time he was asked a question, and that question required an answer in a way which cannot be only useful for that certain questioner, but for the generations to come, like how we are benefiting today, alhamdulillah. So he would write an entire tahqeeq and an entire research upon that, meaning leaving no stone unturned. Every part, every portion is being spoken about, and a whole detail is being covered. So Sayyidi Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, again, his style we see, that the name of the Risala itself puts out the answer in a very crystal clear, loud tone. Imam Ahl-e-Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, gives some power to his pen, the power of the Ishq-e Rasul to his pen, and writes the title in these words, Munirul Ain fi Hukmi Taqbil al Ibhamain, which translates to brightening the eyes due to the kissing of the thumbs. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. The title itself gives us the answer that when you kiss your thumbs on the name of Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, this actually causes brightness to your eyes. So we see the answer in there itself. But if someone still wants detail, please read the Risala. So when you read the Risala, you see that Imam al-Sunnat ala Hadrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi starts with a khutbah, like at the beginning of every other Risala of his. And in the khutbah itself, he gives an introduction and the permissibility of kissing the thumbs. And in very beautiful words, he mentions the Arabic khutbah. And then he starts with his answer. He says, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, that when the name of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam comes, it is permissible, not only permissible, but very much liked to kiss the thumbs and to place them on the eyes. First of all, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi makes it very much clear. He says that yes, the evidences will come. We will prove it, that this is a proven fact. And this is something which has been the practice of great, great ancestors who had the better understanding of Quran and Hadith, Islam and Sharia, better than all of us. So from their practices, it is proven. From narrations, it has been proven. But one of the biggest proof of this action is that this action is not prohibited. Subhanallah, yes, this is something we should understand. For an action to be prohibited, there has to be a prohibition. So once the prohibition has been found, it can be said that, okay, this action is prohibited. Like for example, if I have a glass of water, I place the glass of water here. Now, someone may come and say that this water you have inside the glass is impure. So who is the one entitled to ask for a dalil, for a proof, that is this pure or not? Of course, the one who has been objected upon, meaning I am the one upon whom the objection has come. So I should be the one who will ask that, okay, you are saying that this glass of water is impure. So you tell me, what is your proof which makes you say that this is impure? So the person who objects is entitled to bring a dalil. So he should bring a dalil that what makes him say that this is impure. Did he see any color change? No. Did he see any smell change? No. Did he see anything like that in the state of that certain water which makes him say that this is impure? If there is nothing like that, so that means he is wrong in his claim and objection. Likewise, kissing the thumbs. When you hear the name of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, where do you see a prohibition? Where do you see that it is denied? Where do you see that Allah or His blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam have said that don't do this? Do we see it anywhere? Do we? So the person who objects upon this is entitled to bring a hadith, a sound proof, to prove that this action is not allowed, or this action is prohibited, or this action is discouraged. So Imam al-Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says that one of the biggest evidence is that this action is not prohibited. And then Allahu Akbar, after this, he mentions and he proves it through the aqwal of ulama-i karam, through the aqwal of not only ulama-i karam, sahaba-i karam. And which sahaba-i karam are we talking about? We are talking about the action of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. We are talking about the action of Hasanain Karimain radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. And Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has written this booklet which consists of almost 200 pages approximately. Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has presented a complete lot of proofs, dalail, evidences. And along with that, this risala itself, this booklet itself is actually a blessing for the students of hadith, for the students who are learning hadith, and for the students who are learning usulul hadith. Usulul hadith, the laws of hadith. This is a science which is about hadith, about the narration of hadith, about how to see into a life of a certain narrator, how to classify a hadith as hasan or as sahih or as da'if or as mawdu, how do you do all that? That's a whole science. And the science has its laws, it has its rules, it has some points sketched down. So this certain booklet, Allahu Akbar, is an ocean of that science. It is undoubtedly a ni'mat for the teachers of Usul al-Hadith and for the students of Usul al-Hadith. So Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh mentions a few narrations from Al-Maqasid al-Hasana. He quotes certain books, certain more books as well, and mentions very clearly that should we listen to those who unnecessarily object, who object for nothing, they do all this unnecessarily, or should we look into the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu? So we see that it has been proven from Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is an action. And what action was that? Allahu Akbar. Imam Sakhawi rahimahullah mentions in Al-Maqasid al-Hasana that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard the azan. When he heard the azan, so he radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he heard Ashhadu Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, so he kissed his thumbs and rubbed his over his eyes. He rubbed the thumbs after kissing them upon his eyes, and he said, Raditu Billahi Rabba wa bil Islami Deena wa bi Muhammadin Nabiyya sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then Allahu Akbar, it does not end there. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam saw this happening. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam witnessed it. Okay, if it was something which is condemned, if it is something which is disliked, if it is something upon which people have a problem and they say, no, don't do like this, don't do like this. So Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would have stopped Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu at the first place. But no, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, man fa'ala mithla ma fa'ala khalili faqad hallat alayhi shafa'ati, the one who did how my friend did, the one who did how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did, so definitely my shafa'at becomes permissible for him. He becomes eligible of my shafa'at, he becomes eligible of my intercession, he is entitled towards my intercession. Allahu Akbar, such a great news this is, subhanallah. And this certain narration has been brought through different quotations, different methods, different chains as well, to make sure and to show to the people that this is not something which is new, this is not something which is introduced baselessly, but it is something which is authentic, it is something which has been the practices of those who had the better understanding of Quran and Hadith than of those today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on the teachings of Sahaba and the Awliya. According to Sharh Nuqaya, there is also a narration that be very careful. Yes, the quotation starts with this, beware that this action of kissing the thumbs and placing them on the eyes is actually mustahab, and there is no doubt in it. It is a liked action. It is an action which has been encouraged. And the one who does like this, the one who hears azan, he hears Ashhadu Anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So what he should do is, at the first place, when he hears Ashhadu Anna Muhammad Rasulullah, he should say, Sallallahu Alaika Ya Rasulullah. When he hears this again, he should kiss his thumbs, place them on the eyes and say, Qurratu Aini Bika Ya Rasulullah. As a result, what will happen? You should say, Qurratu Aini Bika Ya Rasulullah, and say, Allahumma ti'ni bis-sam'i wal-basar. Allahu Akbar. So on the day of judgment, that person will go behind Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam towards Jannah, inshallah, azza wa jal. So we see from the actions of Sahaba, we see from the action of Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we see what this great awliya have quoted, what this awliya have brought us to us, what this awliya, what this pious sages and great, great giants of Islam, great, great scholars, what they have mentioned, what they are educating us. This is something we should be adopting. This is something which we should be following. Now what happens is, all right, you have brought a hadith, but this hadith is da'if. This hadith is not sahih. Bring a sahih hadith. Allahu Akbar. So according to the common understanding, when it is said that a hadith is sahih, or when it is said that so-and-so hadith is not sahih, so it does not mean that when a hadith is not sahih, then it is ghalat. It is not like that. And in fact, on this, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi brings an entire discussion about a hadith being sahih and a hadith being ghalat, ma'azallah. A hadith cannot be classified as ghalat. Meaning, if a hadith is sahih, mashallah, very good. But if a hadith is ghair sahih, it's not a sahih. And if the muhaddithin write a pattern somewhere that this hadith is classified not to be a sahih. So that does not mean that it is ghalat. It means that it is not sahih, but it fits to some other grades of ahadith. Like for example, if in a dictionary you look at some pharmacy related words, you might find the word in the dictionary, but it does not mean that what the dictionary is saying is the actual meant meaning of that certain word, because that word belongs to the pharmacy industry. That's the pharmacy department thing. So only a person who is an expert at medicines, a doctor or someone like that, would be able to say that, all right, in light of medicine, in light of the medical science, this is what it means. You give that to an engineer, he won't tell you what it means. Likewise, if there are some engineering or architectural clauses or any such statements, and you give that to a doctor to check and to mention what's the meaning of that, it is not necessary that he will be able to tell you the meaning of that, because that's not his department. Likewise, in the usulul hadith, in the science of hadith, when we listen to the words of sahih, when we listen to the words of ghair sahih, sahih li dhatihi, sahih li ghairihi, so that does not mean that what we understand or what we have been told by a layman or what we have possibly searched nowadays on a search engine or something, that is the meaning of it. No. The ilmul hadith, the science of hadith, the science of usulul hadith is something which is taught and learnt properly in the matters of Dars-e Nizami, in the course of Alim course, the course of Dars-e Nizami. And it takes years, years and years to be an expert on such sciences. Not any person, not any layman will be able to explain to you, or not any search engine will show you up that what exactly sahih and ghair sahih means. It doesn't work like that. This is a whole science, and only those people who are well equipped on this, well knowledged on this, well educated in this certain science, will be able to understand and explain what is the reason behind it. Like, to make it a bit more easier, in a class, for example, a boy has come first, and you say, mashallah, he has come first. That does not mean the other boy sitting next to him, he has failed. No, he has come first. He has come with good numbers. Maybe the second one, the person who has scored less than him, he has not failed, but he has come second, or he has come third. So likewise, the first grade of hadith, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, mentions everything very clearly, and he explains the different grades of a hadith as well, and there is a whole explanation about it. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi mentions that the darajat, the status and the stages of a hadith, first you get sahih, and the sahih is li dhatihi, and then you get the grade of sahih li ghairihi, then you get the stage of hasan li dhatihi, then you get the stage of hasan li ghairihi, after this you get the stage of da'if, after da'if you get the stage of mawdu'. Da'if refers to many ahadith in which maybe there is a weakness, or maybe there is a problem in the chain of the narrators, and that da'if also has many stages. Which stage of da'if is this? Then there is another stage of da'if. Then there is another stage of da'if. Then there is another stage of da'if. Then somewhere comes the stage of mawdu'. And then there are categories of mawdu'. And then there is hukum upon mawdu'. Then what is the hukum of mawdu'? Mawdu' in simple language means a hadith which has been fabricated and has been referred to as Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Da'if means that it may have some weakness in its chains or something, but it is at the end of the day hadith. You call it da'if hadith, isn't it? You don't call it da'if ghair hadith or something like that. So it is a category of hadith. But now, which hadith to be adopted where? This is an art on its own. It's a knowledge on its own. So what are the maqasid of the hadith? Yes, education and all this, but in terms of acquiring belief matters, in terms of acquiring halal and haram matters, in terms of proving an excellence of something. So Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali mentions that from the ahadith, aqaida proven. From the ahadith, the matters of halal and haram are proven. From the matters of ahadith, excellences are proven. Fada'il are proven. So now, which grade of hadith to be used where? This is a knowledge on its own. And Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali clarifies and explains it as well, that if it is a matter of aqeedah, then khabre wahid should not be used. That's another whole specific thing, and there is a whole explanation about it. What is khabre wahid? What is mutawatir? So forth. So many other categories and stuff. And then you come to halal and haram, the masail section of it, that this is halal, this is haram. So which narrations should be used in that? So such narrations should be used in which the chain of narrators does not have weakness. It should not have weakness in the chain of narrators, meaning in the narrators who have narrated that hadith. What does it mean by narrators who have narrated that hadith? It means that those people through whom the hadith reached to the writers of the ahadith. Like for example, from Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a certain narration has been narrated. Or from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a certain narration has been narrated. And they heard it from the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And they told it to others, and those others told it to others, and they told it to others, and they told it to others, until it got to Sayyidina Imam Bukhari, and then so forth, coming down. So these are called the chain of narrators. So in those narrators, if somewhere some problem has been found, some defect has been found, now what sort of problems, what sort of such characteristics are found in a narrator which may classify his narrations to be a da'if, that also has its conditions and its details, which Allah Azza Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali has mentioned in this certain booklet. But anyways, in the chain of narrators, there should not be a weakness that is allowed to be taken in the matters of halal and haram. But when it comes the matter of fada'il, when it comes the matter of manaqib, when it is the matter of expressing the status or the excellences or the virtues of a certain action or a certain person or a certain sahabi or a certain action or something like that. So for that, da'if ahadith can be taken. It is permissible to be taken, because now this is not a matter of halal or haram. It is not a matter of aqidah. So it is permissible to be taken, and this permissibility is not something which is being told by Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Rida Khan. In fact, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Rida Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala ali mentions that for da'if ahadith to be used in the chapters of manaqib and fada'il is permissible as per the consensus. It is a matter upon which there is consensus of all the a'imma, all the great, great scholars. There is consensus, there is no dispute on this matter. So this is a brief explanation about sahih hadith and a hadith which is not classified as sahih. So for the manaqib and for the fada'il purposes, it is definitely allowed to use such ahadith which are categorized in the section of da'if. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding of ahadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah Imam Ahmad Rida Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, after mentioning different kinds of ahadith, different grades of ahadith, then Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, about the mawdu' ahadith as well, he mentions many categories. That mawdu' ahadith, how many categories are there? And da'if ahadith, how many categories are there? And what are the categories? And in which department of manaqib, for the virtues of what actions or what things or what people can that be utilized for? So Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali also mentioned further 15 categories in which these manaqib and these ahadith can be utilized in, can be used in. Because this is not a matter of halal or haram. This is not a matter of aqidah. These are the matters of virtues and fada'il. So Allah Hazrat pens down a whole detail about it as well. Meaning he is leaving no room for doubt. He is leaving no chances of going here and there. Allahu Akbar. He has covered each and everything in this risala. In fact, it is so beautiful. It is so beautiful that after these 200 pages, you may be expecting that there will be another topic or something. But no, the next chapter, the next risala is about kissing the thumbs. Yes, is about kissing the thumbs in Iqamat. Because the first question, what I mentioned in the beginning, was about kissing the thumbs in Azan. But in the second one, Imam Ahl Sunnah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali then again further speaks about and proves that kissing the thumbs when you hear the name of Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam in Iqamat is also permissible and in fact also liked and it is also mustahab. So yes, when we hear the name of Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam, we should. Yes, you can even do it now. Why not? Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam's name comes, we should kiss our thumbs in this way and place it on our eyes, inshallah azza wa jal. This will be in accordance with the actions of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr, Sayyiduna Imam Hassan, many great jurists and many great pious predecessors. So Imam Ahl-Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, how beautifully he covers all these aspects. This is undoubtedly the power of the pen of Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. Mulke sukhan ki shahi tumko raza musallam jis samt aa gaye ho sikhe bitha diye hain. Subhanallah azza wa jal. Speak about any aspect, any topic, any matter, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi gives you an ocean of knowledge. He gives you an ocean of understanding. Meaning such a simple, such a short question which could have been answered in a hadith or two or in a line or two. But Imam Ahl-Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali wrote an entire booklet on this. Imam Ahl-Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali gave an entire explanation onto this matter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true love for awliya Allah, for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And this is just one example. There are so many. Fatawa Razaviya is on many volumes. It's not just one book. This one book is actually one volume out of the many volumes of this beautiful, beautiful masterpiece. And as I said in the beginning, that the works of Imam Ahl-Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, are actually giving introduction of his personality. Meaning, yes, we do hear about this great Imam, that he was born on so-and-so day, he was born on so-and-so date, and this is what he has done, these are his accomplishments, then all these things we hear about him. But you truly recognize Imam Ahl-Sunnat and his caliber once you read him. Once you see his works, like this work itself, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi wrote this booklet when he was just at the age of 29 years. This 29 years of age is that certain part of an age or life where a person is busy building himself, where a person is still, you know, trying to groom himself and go to a successful platform or something. But at this age, Imam Ahl-Sunnah, that personality who wrote his first fatwa at the age of 13, he has written this book, this great masterpiece, this great evident risala on the topic of kissing the thumbs when the name of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam comes. So he wrote this just at the age of 29. So undoubtedly, Imam Ahl-Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, was blessed with great wisdom, was blessed with great insight, was blessed with great knowledge, and he was undoubtedly a great friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us the love for ilm-e-deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the path of this shaykh, this imam, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and may we never ever leave his shadow inshallah ta'ala, and on his teachings, on his footsteps, may we inshallah azza wa jal be successful in this world, in the hereafter, and ultimately may we enter Jannah, may we attain the proximity of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah azza wa jal, we shall come to you with another topic, another risala of Sayyidi Imam Ahl-Sunnat in our next episode. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The power of Imam Ahmad Raza's pen. The power of Imam Ahmad Raza's pen.